Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam International with me, Sister Faiza Munshi, on this slightly chilly Sunday morning. I'm sure you're thinking this is not a common voice on a Sunday. Alhamdulillah, we have one of our female panel discussions on once again today. I will be your panel chair, and it's a topic that I think some people may sit back and say, I want to listen, and others may think, do I want to run? So today, inshallah, I will introduce my topic. I will then introduce my two guests, inshallah, and we will get right into the topic, and I'm sure we're going to need a lot more than this hour to discuss this. Today we're talking about forgiveness, a topic not everyone wants to delve into for various reasons. You know, sometimes it brings up feelings of pain, of resentment, of new hurts, of old wounds, and, you know, many of us don't want to bring up those experiences. And so we thought this is an exceptionally important topic to talk about. Forgiveness, we've just come on to the first day of the month of Shaban. We are now going towards the month of Ramadan, and so this topic just seemed perfect to be able to talk about at this time. Inshallah, so my first guest, alhamdulillah, like I said, it's a panel discussion. You'll not just be hearing my voice. But my first guest, alhamdulillah, is somebody whose voice is known to Radio Islam, and she is my colleague, my close colleague who always keeps us on our toes, alhamdulillah. Sister Zakira, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm not sure whether to take the last part as a compliment.
Always take it as a compliment, my dear sister. So, for many of you who know Zakira's voice, she's the coordinator of the female presenters, and she coordinates our programs, alhamdulillah, in a very big, I won't go any further into detail about that, Zakira. No, she definitely, you know, looks after the female presenters. She has her own higher learning program called Azikriyat. It's an institute called Azikriyat. And a teacher at Riyadul Uloom at our learning center in Musgrave. And we're going to be, Zakira is going to be coming into the program a lot to talk about from the Islamic perspective. We're talking about forgiveness. And inshallah, Zakira, we really need to delve into this topic, being the first of Shaban. I'm looking forward to getting as much out in this hour as we can today, inshallah.
Inshallah, most certainly.
And my second panelist, alhamdulillah, is Sister Tasneem Basha. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Tasneem.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Tasneem, you seem to be breaking up slightly. You might have to just talk a bit louder. So Tasneem Ahmed Basha is a rapid results life coach trained in holistic therapy, and an approach I believe is gaining much traction amongst the problems we're seeing in today's world. So brand Mind First and her modalities of working in traditional Chinese medicine, kinesiology, NLP will go quite far, I think, today, you know, in helping us to unfold this important topic of forgiveness, especially since she works with many on the emotional challenges in this day and this time. So I'm sure she sees a lot of this in terms of emotional issues, in terms of resentment, in terms of the need of forgiveness. Sister Tasneem, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Radio Islam, alhamdulillah. Good to have you on.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you. Can you hear me better now?
A little bit better, alhamdulillah, yeah. So maybe just a little bit closer to your handset will be great. So I want to start off today's programming talking about this issue of forgiveness and why it is that we brought this topic up at this date, this time. And it so happens that today has fallen into the first day of the month of Shaban, right? When we talk about I'm going to start with you, Sister Tasneem. The question of forgiveness, it seems quite simple. Is it simple or is it complex?
Well, to say it's really nice, complex is an issue. It's both simple for me and complex. It requires a willingness at the end of the day, and that is simple, because it's based on a decision that we make.
So it's a topic that we need to actually break down. It's something that we need to really just, you know, look at in different stages and different levels, so to speak.
Yes, for sure. I feel when it comes to forgiveness, you need to look firstly at what changes in you. Does it trigger a feeling of vulnerability? Does the issue around what you need to forgive issue vulnerability in you? Do you feel undermined? Did you feel debased, angry? You need to look at all of those emotions individually and see what resonates with you.
Abu Zakira, when you talk about, I mean, it's the first of Shaban, and it's trying to bring out this, this question of the topic of forgiveness and how we've chosen this, and seems to have fallen very nicely, you know, on this day, because we've got a month to go before the month of Ramadan. When you look at the question of forgiveness, and like the question I've asked Tasneem, would you say it's something simple, it is from an Islamic perspective, or is it a complex topic?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So Sister Faiza, I think if we're looking at it from the perspective that you're mentioning, that it's the first of Shaban and we're heading into Ramadan, then what exactly does Ramadan have to offer us, I would ask. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a very well-known hadith, has mentioned, awwaluhu rahma wa awsatuhu maghfira wa akhiruhu itkum minan nar. The first part of Ramadan brings with it the rahmah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second part, the maghfirah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lastly, the emancipation from the fire of Jahannam. If you look at all these elements, even if you have to look at them alone, on their own, you would see that for a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like me and you, to gain this, we would want to be at our prime. We would want to be ready to accept what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to offer in this month, if I could put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most easiest manners of doing this, and hence I'm hearing you say that it's the first of Shaban, we have just a month to Ramadan, and I'm seeing this as that what you're trying to explain to us, or what you're getting across to us, is that we have a month to fix our own mu'amalat, our interactions with human beings, so that we may go into Ramadan ready to accept from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what he has to offer us. Because if I'm not ready to forgive my own brother and sister, then it would be kind of hypocritical for me to stand before Allah in the days of Ramadan and ask him to forgive me. So I wouldn't say it's something that easy, but if we work on it, then I could see us really pulling through and finding success before the month of Ramadan.
Inshallah, sort of moving forward with ourselves and gaining that, you know, so sort of bettering ourselves. Now, and that brings me very nicely to what I want to talk to Tasneem about next. And Tasneem, I mean, there's levels of forgiveness, right? I mean, I'm sure our listeners are thinking about this. When I say this, it's in the sense of, you know, you get this question of, oh, please make me maaf, or will you please forgive me? So there's a question of make me maaf, and that's all a person may say, or they may go to, will you please forgive me for having wronged you? And then, of course, to go further and say, you know what, I'm so sorry, I really, you know, I apologize to you, I've hurt you, I feel that I've wronged you, and, you know, I will never do it again. So, you know, how does the process of asking and the way we ask impact the actual, you know, the whole, it's almost like an arena around the idea of forgiveness. It's like having this whole concept around it of how the person asks, what they say, how they say it, whether they've used a text, whether they've actually picked up the phone. How does that and how a person asks impact on the person who's being asked forgiveness?
It's a very deep impact to it, like you say, to the arena of forgiveness. I like that term. And I have to say also, this is a process. I've told this to my kids also. I'm sorry for mentioning the behavior. It was wrong because. Mention why you feel it was wrong to that person. You know, in future I will. And mention the behavior that you will model in the future. Can you please forgive me? Those are the things we take for sincere and self-apology, because it shows empathy, that you understand what the person went through, and that's for us. And like Dr. Ankira mentioned, forgive because you hope to be forgiven. You know, we are all wounded. We have been wounded, and we have all wounded right here as well. It takes a strong personality, a strong state of mind, to be aware of that, to recognize that. And it also takes you out of the victim mindset.
You know, it's so interesting the way you say this, because, you know, for many of us, when we ask someone to forgive us, now, I guess it also depends on the situation. It very much depends on whether something we've done is very simple, a simple mistake that we've made, or some misunderstanding, or something that's been done that has really been hurtful. So there's different levels, of course, and we'll talk about that as we go through the program. But I guess what you're saying is the way we ask for forgiveness is, it is very important in the sense that the person needs to understand that we understand what they've done wrong in the first place for us to be asking them, you know, for them to forgive us. It's not like just saying, please make me mark for some, and just leaving it open and random. Because sometimes when there's a misunderstanding, people may not even know what you're asking forgiveness for. So I guess it's quite important the way you've said, there's almost like a process to it of understanding what you've done wrong, asking for that, showing that you feel sort of remorse about whatever it is, and that you won't do it again. So it's very nice the way you've put it, that it's not just a, please make me mark, okay, you're forgiven, let's move on. It's being able to, like you say, have the empathy and show the person that you understand the whole feeling behind it.
Precisely.
Okay, that brings us to a bit of a break right now. We need to take an ad break. When we come back, we want to talk about many things associated with forgiveness. And perhaps also look at the concept of as parents, when we have little children, you know, asking those questions to our children. If we ever do ask them, please can you forgive me for the wrong I've done? A difficult thing, I think, for many parents to look at, but all of these things in terms of forgiveness, from the lightest to the most difficult. Let's look at that after this break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam International with me, Sister Faiza Munshi, as your panel chair on today's discussion on forgiveness. My two guests, alhamdulillah, are my colleague, Sister Zakira Ansar Mia, and then Tashneem Ahmad Basha as well is on the line with us. Assalamu alaikum to you both once again. And we want to look at this topic from so many different angles. And I always say when we have these panels that I wish we had hours to talk about these topics. But I want to look at, something that came up as I was talking about the idea of forgiveness. And I'm sure there's many parents that are listening to this question, many parents that have got young children as well as older children, you know. But particularly I want to talk about as adults, the stuff that we may do without realizing in wronging our own children, and finding it very difficult to ask our little ones to forgive us for the wrongs we've done. I just want to bring that in quickly, and then we'll go delve into the nitty-gritties of forgiveness and looking at it from a different, you know, from those angles. I want to talk to you about that, and then I'll bring this name in. This question of, you know, having young kids, and whether, or perhaps even as a teacher, for example, being an adult in the household, being an uncle, a grandmother, grandfather. There are times when our children are wronged by us. There's things we do. There are times we get angry. We go overboard. How important is it that we let go of our egos in these moments in time?
Sanala, that's a great question, actually. I could tell you that from a teacher's perspective with much detail. Because, you know, when you do things to wrong your students, it's never below you, and that's what you need to understand. It's never below you to want to say, hey, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have did what I did, or I think I went a bit too far, or, especially, okay, so I'm going to say this again from that perspective, right? Especially when you don't really know, so you become angry at something and you really vented, and then later you found out that the cause of your venting wasn't verified, if I could put it that way. So at some point you realized, hey, I was wrong in this. So what do you do then? And subhanAllah, that's why it's so important when we connect ourselves with the Quran, because we get to really understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many ayat of the Quran speaks about how He raises those who show forgiveness. He raises in what sense? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you that ability, first of all, to be human enough, or to be big enough, if I could put it that way, to go ahead and forgive. And even in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that man tawada'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. When you choose to be humble enough to tell the person that you have wronged, I realize the folly of my ways, and I would like your forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His side raises your esteem in that person's eyes, and hence makes the whole process of forgiveness easier.
Now, Tasneem, Zakir has talked about this topic from a teacher's perspective. As a parent, as a mother, as someone who deals with little children, or, you know, as anyone, you've got clients that you deal with on a daily basis. What is it, I mean, how difficult is it for many to ask their little ones for forgiveness when they've wronged them? And what is the process that would be the best way of doing that?
I think it is actually very difficult for a lot of people. But still the same process applies. And it's so profound what Zakira mentioned about being, you know, be the bigger person. Because it feeds into ego. It feeds into ego when you don't admit when you see, you're very aware that, look, I've made a mistake. Perhaps you've made a mistake, we've shouted or realized, okay, I totally overreacted there. You really went out of your way to make something difficult for your child, a student or whatever, you know, out of anger. It takes a bigger person to make themselves humble, to make themselves smaller and ask for forgiveness. And I think that I practice the same rule applies. I'm sorry for, I understand it, that it was wrong and that it made you feel this way. But you have to be able to lower yourself. And it does increase, as Hadi says so beautifully, it does increase your status in the eyes of the child, because they know that they can trust you. It also gives them a safe space to know that, look, mommy or daddy or appa or my teacher, whoever it is, even though they're adults, they still make mistakes, which means it's okay for me to make mistakes, and this is the road to recall.
I think as adults, it's very important for us to show that we are also not perfect, and that is also the process in this. And to be able to teach our children from a young age this process of asking for forgiveness. And that brings me on to what I want to talk about next. And there's often people that you will find, in terms of this topic of forgiveness. And it's, like I said, for some people it's difficult to talk about it because not everyone wants to delve into the past and what happened. But there are people who you may have in your life, perhaps you've met, perhaps you've heard, will say, I will never forgive him or her, right? And they said, there's a Chinese proverb that says, if you're going to choose revenge, you better dig two graves. And does this proverb explain more than we wish to, than we realize in terms of this process and this aspect of forgiveness? I'm going to speak to Sister Tasneem now.
Okay. I figured, because you mentioned Chinese, and I'm thinking about my Chinese traditional therapy. Resentment is a big thing in terms of organs. So I'm just going to go a little bit, not off topic, but relating it to the physical organs that it affects in our body. Resentment and anger affect the liver. And the liver is a very important life source. It's a life energy. You know, people who suffer with resentment, who keep resentment alive, and it's literally like a fire burning that you add wood to continuously, all the time. You start to burn out. You start to get headaches. You start to see spots in front of your eyes. It's really, really draining on a physical level. And yes, if you're going to pursue revenge, if you're going to pursue resentment, you're digging an early grave for yourself. And I always say this to my clients, and it's a life lesson to me also, when you are feeling angry with somebody, whether it's for the moment or whether it's something that you've fed over years, and in some cases, especially in our community, it's over decades, ask yourself how much of that anger is that other person feeling. The bitterness that you carry inside, that hatred, that anger, that it's a heat that really burns you up from the inside. The other person, persons, institutions, whatever it is, they are not affected by it to the intensity that you are.
Mm-hmm. So what we're looking at is that the fact is, and oftentimes when you listen to, if we look at these questions of anger, resentment, forgiveness, whatever it might be, from whichever angle we look at it, it is oftentimes said that for those, if we do not forgive, and we don't wish to, we say that we will hold on to this because we will not let this go, it actually affects us more than it affects the next person, like you're saying. And I think the scary part in terms of what you're saying now is that it's not just an emotional aspect. It's an aspect that then seeps into our physical being. I mean, what kind of illnesses are created? Because, I mean, there's often this talk about, the idea of your body, your emotions, and how it creates so many illnesses in us without us realizing it. From the perspective of the work that you do in terms of kinesiology, etc., what are some of the debilitating aspects of holding on to resentment, anger, and this idea of making sure that you'll never forgive or you don't let go of these negative emotions?
No, absolutely, because we are holistic beings. Everything affects everything else. We're talking about the child's health, mental, physical, emotional, spiritual. They all feed into each other. We cannot separate one aspect of who we are from the other and think that, okay, I will only think a bad thought and feel that your body will be safe or that your spirit will be safe, your iman will be safe. It's impossible. We are completely, connected to ourselves and to each other. In terms of the physical aspects of how it manifests in the body, on the worst end of the spectrum, you're going to start there, cancer of the liver. things that eat away, you know, at the body and stay there and just fade and fade and fade and grow for no other sake but for the sake of growing. So you have a resentment in you, and you have no other reason to keep that resentment alive but that it's been around for so long. Like I mentioned earlier, headaches, all kinds of physical symptoms pop up. One of the ones that people don't like to hear about, but that is really prevalent, is halitosis, bad breath. Holding those bad words inside and feeding it, that is bad breath.
So these are things from a physical perspective. I want to go, because I want to come to you and ask a question. You know that when somebody decides that this is who I will be, I'm digging my heels in. I'm not going to forgive because I have done nothing wrong. Obviously, there's often that concept of I've done nothing wrong. What happens when the heart becomes hard? So, I mean, over time, I'm assuming that when one doesn't want to, you know, refuses to forgive inside, and one can no longer, then perhaps you get to a point where if you're not going to forgive someone else, you may even come to the point of not even asking for Allah's forgiveness at some point because, you know, you may become so hard at heart, so to speak. When somebody gets to that point, what are some of the characters and some of the aspects that we may see in people when they've got to that point of saying, you know what, I'm never ever forgiving this person, and it just the heart becomes just harder and harder. What are some of the stuff we may see in people that go to that extreme?
Well, actually, you know, it's a very sad thing when we see people that have come to this point, Sister Faiza. Because you partially mentioned it in your question. You will see them becoming really angry and resentful. There comes that word again that Sister Tiffany mentioned, resentful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason they feel this way is because they feel that na'udhu billah and Allah shouldn't make it such that we start feeling this way, but they feel that if Allah wanted, He would have made this person forgive me. He would have made it such that this person would have, and again, let's look at the mindset behind this.
Mm-hmm.
He would have made this person come down to me, you know, because they are now looking at that person as having a big ego and not wanting to forgive. So he would have made this person stoop down and this person would have said they would forgive me. So what characteristics we would see? We would see a very angry person, a person that is always emotionally wrought. So they would lash out easily. They would, you know, not even at things that would give you true reason to be this way. And then the person would also start detaching themselves from ibadat. So going to the masjid starts becoming like a real chore. Getting onto that musalla for a lady even, you know, would become really burdensome because she doesn't really believe that standing before Allah where she says in her salah, Ar-Rahmani Ar-Rahim, you know, Ya Allah, you are most forgiving and most merciful. She's not really believing what she's saying because even though verbally she may be uttering it, in her heart there's some chasm, there's a lack, there's something that's missing over there. So automatically what it does is, it, even though she may be going through the mill, you know, doing the actions by rote, there's no soul left in that. Mm. That's why it's so sad. And so suppose if you just allow me one ayah, you know, and this ayah of Surah Jathia actually explains this so nicely. It says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَغْفِرُوا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ أَيَّامَ اللَّهِ لِيَجْزِيَ قَوْمًا بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. That O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to those who believe, يَغْفِرُوا, that they should forgive, لِلَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ أَيَّامَ اللَّهِ, they should forgive those people who have no connection or who have no understanding that they will have to stand before Allah. Why should they be the ones to forgive? لِيَجْزِيَ قَوْمًا بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, so that Allah may deal with those people for what they did. And I think this is so powerful if we just look at this ayah. Because in essence what this ayah is saying, I need to find it in me to forgive, because when I stand before Allah, I will have to answer for what I did, how I felt, you know, whether I made the effort or not. And what I need to remind myself, and this is why people hold on to grudges, is because they feel I'm going to show them. But this ayah is telling us that I'm not going to be answerable for what they did, how they acted, or how they felt. Allah is telling us in this ayah, you do your bit, let Allah deal with them.
Absolutely. That is really profound in terms of us being able to fix our relationship with Allah Ta'ala and understanding why it is important to fix our relationships here on earth. Sister Tasneem, coming to you, on this, what Sister Zakir has mentioned about, you know, in terms of forgiveness, what is it when we do, I want to look at the process. I mean, we've talked about how, you've mentioned how to ask forgiveness, looking at it, showing that empathy, understanding what you've done wrong and moving forward. You know, the thing I really want to put forward in today's program is that I want to understand, I want ourselves as well as listeners to understand what is it that happens to our psyche and our mind and our emotions when we actually, and I'm going to use the word choose, because I think that's an important word to use, is because we have a choice in the matter. When we choose to forgive, what happens to us from a mental, psychological perspective for our own health and our own wellness?
For me, it's that you free up so much of energy. You'll hear me saying this word very often, and as you know, I use this word a lot, energy. When I talk about energy, I'm talking about the electricity that's present in our body, the same thing that is measured when we're doing ECG and EEG, the electricity in our bodies. We free up so much of that because even having a thought consumes energy. Once we forgive, once we move on, we free that up to do more with our lives, for ourselves, to become more aware. And I believe we are here in this dunya, and we are here to become more and more aware of Allah. So if we weigh ourselves down with things like anger, resentment, holding grudges, all those negative emotions, we will never level up. We will never know better. We will never experience our iman and the beauty of our souls to the potential it can be. So once that happens, once you can forgive, you'll find yourself physically, I've seen it happen. People, if your physical symptoms dissipate, they dissolve, they go away. They literally disappear. Mentally and psychologically, you feel so much fear. You feel a weight off your own shoulders because you are carrying somebody else's burden. And there was something that Atta Zakira mentioned when she spoke earlier, and I just want to bounce off that. You know, when we hold on to resentment, when we refuse to forgive, we sort of suffer to show the other person a point. We refuse. I will not be happy. I will not be successful. I will not be whatever it is. Because if I am, it then gives the other person a free pass. It then lets them know that their behavior is okay. And once we do that, we are now invested in somebody else's journey, which takes away from your own completely.
How much of this question of forgiveness is rooted in perhaps pride and ego, as opposed, you know, to anything else?
I think, yeah, quite a lot. That's a great question. And now that you mentioned it, I think quite a bit of it is related to ego, self, me. You know, my life is supposed to be this way, and because of you, I am now suffering. And there needs to be a point where we step back. And we say, look, this has happened. Let's say in a case where the victim, and I say that in inverted commas, I use the term loosely, the person is really, really wronged, unjustly, she did nothing wrong, she's absolutely innocent, and then she's been wronged. Once that happens to you, and you hold on to forgiveness, you miss the bigger lesson that Allah was sending you in that situation, in that challenge, in that relationship. So on a basic level, we can say, okay, that situation, that relationship taught me not to trust so easily, for example. That's the basic lesson. But what characteristic in there, in that other person, in that situation, is a reflection of who I am on some level. On some level. What part of me do I need to forgive? And what goodness came out of the situation of a believer is always good. What goodness came out of it? And it takes you, like Appa said earlier, stepping back, being small, being humble, to be able to step back and say, what can I learn?
Mm. Sister Zakir, I want to ask you this question. Oftentimes, it's coming towards, you mentioned Ramadan a lot, the 15th night of Shaban is coming. So there will be many messages that we may get, you know, that say, please forgive me for anything I've done. Sometimes, as human beings, in order for us to be able to make ourselves feel better, we may, in those messages, so we send a mass message out to say, please make me mark for any wrong I've done. And perhaps we're sending out to those people who we know we may have gossiped about, we may have spoken bad about behind their back, but we may not have the courage to go up to them and say, I'm really sorry I've done this wrong. You know, how impactful is something like those mass messages, and how harmful could it be to society and relationships moving forward, as well as perhaps to our spirituality and our iman? Because we know we've wronged, but we're asking for mark, but we're not telling them, you know what, why are we doing this? So is there sort of a way of doing this, or how is this harmful, and what is a better way of doing it in terms of coming towards these spiritual times of the 15th of Shaban, the month of Ramadan, and wanting to, you know, feel better about ourselves? But what is a better way of doing it?
Sister Faiza, I can't but hear a smile in your voice there, because I always find these messages very, very funny myself. And I don't mean it in a bad way, but honestly, it's so hilarious to see people just sending out messages like this. And the reason I'm saying that, my dear listeners, is because what we're basically doing is we're starting to make it sound as though it's like a one-fits-all size. And we know that that's not possible. But still, we do it because in some way, maybe, it's appeasing our ego. So, Sister Faiza, this question was actually asked to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I'm going to give them a form of the understanding of this hadith. And this is how it went down, right? So the Sahabi asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so if I didn't, this person doesn't exactly know that this is the wrong that I did to them. So it's like, perhaps you've spoken bad about someone, but that person doesn't know of it. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then ask Allah for forgiveness, and your forgiveness will be, you know, you will be absolved of that sin. And I'm going to explain this a little more, because maybe it's not sounding, you know, to some it may not sound all that clear. The thing is that if someone doesn't know what you did to them, and you know that by what you did, it may have caused them harm in fact, subhanAllah, we learn that when we gossip about people, we're only harming ourselves, because their good deeds are moved to our scales, and our good deeds are moved to their scale, and their bad deeds are moved to us. So we're actually doing a disservice to ourselves. So basically what was explained here was that, don't worry, if this person didn't know, just go ahead and ask Allah for forgiveness, provided you know. But now, the thing is that sometimes when we do pass on this gossip, we know how families are. We even know how societies are. Some people are relentless at gossiping. Mm-hmm. So that would have moved on with only a little bit more masala added on as it went along. And finally, when it came out at the end, you would have heard a totally different story, you know. Mm. And when you hear the story on the other end, you may not even recognize the person that started off this so-called innocent, oh, but I was just saying kind of thing, right? So if you know that it's not going to harm the person and have far-reaching consequences, then you don't have to ask them for forgiveness, because obviously you wouldn't want to offend them further. Now you're going to ask them for forgiveness. They don't even know what you did, so they're going to be like, why are you asking for forgiveness? And then you're going to be opening up a different can of worms. But obviously, if you know that this gossip has harmed them, you need to now, you were brave enough to start the gossip, so you need to be brave enough to go up to them and say, look, I need to ask you for forgiveness, and this gossip that started, it's now come to this point, but this is how it started. It actually started from me. And you're going to have to deal with those consequences, unfortunately.
It comes to the point of what comes out of our mouths, we need to take responsibility for. And I mean, we are all guilty of this. None of us can pretend to be saints, but it's very important in terms of, like what you're saying, is that if any of us has to go through that process, perhaps in going through that process the first time or the second time, by the third time we'll realize, you know what, I cannot deal with the difficulty of actually, you know, getting the courage up to go and ask someone for forgiveness. So perhaps I would just seal my lips and not say anything because I know how badly this could turn out in the future. Perhaps you say something like you said, it started off with something small and then it gets added on, and by the time the story finishes, you've been implicated in something that's really, really huge. So what you're saying is that perhaps we need to check our words before they leave our mouth, check what we're going to say, check the comments we make. And, you know, there's oftentimes, Sister Zakira as well as Sister Tasneem, I want to say is that as women, if we sit in a group of people, we think that we have to say something. Even if we don't agree with what's being said, in order to fit in, that is, we sometimes think it is some, we have to add our two cents, or like you said, a little bit of chilies and masala to the story. But in fact, it is not even who we are. So perhaps in company, it is when we need to check ourselves most. We've got to take a bit of a break. When we come back, we'll talk more on forgiveness and talk more to our panelists about this topic. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam International. My name is Sister Faiza Munshi, and we've got this panel discussion on forgiveness. Apologies, we just had a little bit of a technical glitch there, and inshallah we'll be back online. Which is, we've just got a few minutes left, literally, for today's program, where we're going to have to round it up. I think an important topic, no matter what, whether we are on the first of Shaaban going towards the month of Ramadan, or whether it could be any time of the year, it's a topic that I believe is so important in terms of being able to just reach to the bottom of it, because it's so difficult to actually get to the bottom of. Because like I said in my intro, is that it's something that brings up old experiences, old hurts, old pain, and something that we've really got to look at in terms of also checking ourselves. You know, if we've had a process or a moment where we've had to actually humble ourselves and ask someone for forgiveness, before we went to the break, Sister Zakira was talking about the fact that perhaps sometimes we say a word of gossip which gets out of control, and we were the start of that. Having to be able to get the courage to go to the person and say, I'm really sorry, but I'm the one who started this, and I need you to forgive me. Perhaps in those moments we realize that we need to take responsibility for everything that we are doing. You know, we need to take responsibility for every word that comes out of our mouth. So it's important that... Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. And I just came back to apologize. We've been having some technical difficulties, unfortunately. We don't seem to be able to get our guests back on, and we've actually reached 12 o'clock, which means that's the end of today's program. Inshallah, we'll talk about this topic in the future on another panel, perhaps, and hoping to delve into this question of forgiveness. I'm hoping, inshallah, whatever we've spoken about in the last 45 to 50 minutes, inshallah, has been very, very beneficial to all our listeners. I apologize once again for the technical difficulties and problems we had at the end of the program. To my guests, Sister Tasneem Pasha, as well as Sister Zakira, I thank you for your time on today's program. To our listeners, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.